It's good to see everybody, and welcome to our online live stream audience as well. My topic tonight is Father, Daddy, but I want to make reference first to last Wednesday. If you have not seen Pastor Dana and her message last Wednesday about the pocket prayer, how many of you, anybody here memorize that already? Well, I have. It's simple. Father, you're good. I need help. Heal me. Deliver me. They need help. Whatever that might be, they need help. Could be your family, whatever. And thank you in Jesus' name. And then another point that she brought out so wonderfully was, the disciples, they were really concerned about being able to pray. And so they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. How many of you are appreciative of that? You think about that. Jesus became their tutor as far as teaching them to pray. But my message tonight deals with Father, Daddy. Have you ever thought of your Father God as a daddy? Well, I have to tell you, I never did. I never did. What I remember most as a little child about praying to my Abba Father was at bedtime. Sometimes I would be so tired that I remember my daddy, earthly daddy, would carry me up the stairs and put me down in bed. But it was my mom who stayed and prayed with me. And she would read a bedtime story. And then we would say this prayer. Maybe you know this prayer. All right? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I shall die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. We did that. As a young child, I did that for many, many years. Actually, the phrase, if I shall die before I wake, I never really did comprehend that. In fact, I didn't even say those words. I would say, a flash of die before I wake. Kind of like speaking in tongues. A flash of die before I wake. So, anyways, that prayer, it's amazing after all these years that I still remember it. For me, though, I didn't even know it. For me, when my mom and my dad started leading me in that bedtime prayer was the beginning of my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I didn't have a clue. Let me share another little anecdote here. In high school, my senior year, I was part of a trumpet trio. And I was pretty good at the trumpet. I was the lead trumpet. I was first trumpet, which means I had the melody to play. And then the other two guys, second and third, and so forth. Well, we did pretty good. None of us was really that outstanding, but we had that blend. Do you have that blend with your Heavenly Father tonight? Your daddy, your Abba Father? We had that blend, and we went to the state competition, and we got a 1, which was the highest rating. So how wonderful that was, though. They decided we had I don't know if it was a winter or a spring band concert, that's so long ago, but we were featured in that concert. But oh, guess what? I was so petrified. I was freaking out that my lip went out. I couldn't play, and then we were in the gymnasium with a lot of people, and the ventilators, or whatever you call them, the big machines and everything, blew the music off the stands. So this was in front of some. I remember coming off that, and I went to my parents, I will never do this again. Never say never. But my dad and my mom picked up the pieces of what I thought was my shattered life at that time. I have never been so humiliated in all my life. And I never thought I would ever, ever be a pastor. That wasn't even on the radar. So as my own children grew up, I remember the times, though, when Len and I would, they would sit in our laps. We would play board games, watch TV, and they would come to their daddy and their mommy for love, help, security. When Len and I were separated for 10 months because I took a new principalship in Cincinnati, and she was still up in Delaware, Ohio, north of Columbus, with Tim, Mark, and Amy. They were 7, 5, and 2. And the blessing was that every Friday night I got to come home, and I was greeted by hugs, by my kids, by my wife, and love you, Daddy. Love you, Daddy. During the passing of their mom, they were right there with me, bringing their incredible love, support, and hope. They prayed, they wept, they remembered. So how blessed I am as a daddy. I'm still so privileged to be their dad. You know, I exist to embarrass them. Did you know that? Right, Mark? You know, but I have to tell you, though, I love it when they still call me Dad, and it's music to my ears when they tease me and saying, "Oh, Dad, like, what have you done now?" And but I'll tell you what, this, I believe, this is relationship, and this is what Abba Father is all about, relationship. This is what our Abba Father desires with us. And if you don't have that kind of relationship, we can help you tonight during our prayer time. But truthfully, I never did refer to the Lord as Daddy. Like I said, I never knew Abba. Perhaps it was my spiritual upbringing in mainline denominational churches. God was always referred to as the Lord. The Lord. But how does the Lord really want us to approach Him in prayer? Our formalized prayers with impressive vocabulary, what He wants. Well, I got to tell you, I'm toast if that's the requirement. Jesus downplayed the importance of words and prayers. Jesus says, when you pray, don't babble on and on like the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again. Will we get my slides up there? anyways, I love the way Max Lucado puts it. Become as little children, carefree, joy-filled, playful, trusting, curious, excited, forget greatness, seek littleness, trust more, strut less. How many of you walk around like this? Strut less. That phrase just grabbed me when I read that, because that's what I could see is people like that. Make lots of requests and accept all the gifts. Come to God the way a child comes to daddy. Just as a happy child cannot miss hug, a sincere heart cannot miss pray. Isn't that a beautiful sentence? I did not come up with that, but I like it. I like it. So, Matthew 18:3, we get that up there. And let you follow along with me as we read it. Then He said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. Great words. Great words. So, but you know what? In the Old Testament, we can learn about Abba Father too. So the following verses reveal, once again, relationship is the key. Take a look at Exodus 3, beginning at verse 10. Come on now, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Keep going, verse 13 and 14. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. You remember that in the movie, The Ten Commandments? And did you know that, of course, Charlton Heston was Moses. Did you know also the voice of God was Moses in that movie as well? Fascinating, right? I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Isn't that beautiful? So the Lord gave himself the personal name, I am who I am. From this is derived the Hebrew Yahweh. Don't you love Yahweh? A Hebrew phrase that indicates action. God was in effect saying to Moses, I wish to be known as the God who is present and active. That's relationship. For inherent in the name of Yahweh is the promise of the living presence of God himself day by day with his people. That's relationship. It expresses his faithful love and care and his desire to redeem his people and live in fellowship with them. Thus, Abba Father. Abba Father. The modern consensus among scholars today is that the Lord's Prayer begins with Aramaic, the Aramaic word Abba. And therefore, Jesus taught his disciples to pray in the Aramaic of daily communication rather than what language would they have prayed in? The classical Hebrew written text. So we might say in our vernacular that Jesus opened Pandora's box. How so? Anybody know what box he opened by doing that? By using the name Abba, Aramaic? Well, we'll find out here. By the way, let's just pray the Lord's Prayer right now. I meant to do that at the beginning. Can you stand with me? And let's just say the Lord's Prayer. I love that prayer. I think that's the first scriptures I ever memorized. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, I can't hear you, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Of course, that's the King James. You may be seated. The use of Aramaic, now you got to understand Jesus' time and the culture he was in. The use of Aramaic in worship created a major upheaval in Jesus' day. I mean, you know how people get all bent out of shape with the music that maybe is being sung in church or whatever. And if it's not something they like, well, Jesus, ever the revolutionary, the use of Aramaic in worship created a major upheaval in his day. Jesus lived in a world where the public reading of the Bible was always in Hebrew, and prayers had to be offered in that language. And along comes Jesus. Abba, Father. Abba, Aramaic, Father, Greek. I'll get to that in a second. So when Jesus took the giant step of endorsing Aramaic as an acceptable language for prayer and worship, he opened the door for the New Testament to be written in Greek. Did you ever think about that? That's big news. That is really big news. Not Hebrew, and then translated as a result into many other languages. Because of Jesus' actions nowadays, anyone who claims to be a Christian more than likely has access to a Bible in their own language. You know how many things started with Jesus? And they're going to end when he comes back, right? It's going to be beautiful. You know, at that time, prophecy will not be required anymore because he's the fulfillment of prophecy. Because of Jesus' actions nowadays, that believers are thereby able to break into God's presence using the language of the heart. What's the language in your heart tonight? What language are you speaking in your heart tonight? Is it a language of compassion? Is it a language of agape love? Is it a language of criticism? Is it a language of unforgiveness? Or is it a language of forgiveness and hope and love? The language of the heart. We must always remember that it was Jesus' choice of Aramaic as the language of the Lord's Prayer, and what a thing, what a challenge that was. So let's dig a little deeper here for the next few minutes. Abba Father is one of the most significant names of God in understanding how he relates to people. The word Abba is an Aramaic word that means father, as we already know. It was a common term that expressed affection and confidence and trust. Abba signifies the close, intimate relationship with a father and his child, as well as the childlike trust that a young child puts in his daddy. Do you have that kind of relationship right now? Do you see God as your daddy? Do you see him as a loving father? Or do you see him as the force be with you? You know, I actually wondered about that one time years and years ago. And Star Wars is still with us. Good grief. Anyways, so Abba Father is one of the most significant names of God in understanding how he relates to people. The word Abba, again, means father. And it was a common term that expressed affection and confidence. Abba signifies, as you can see, the close, intimate relationship with a father and child. I believe that God truly, truly wants us to refer to him as Abba Father. Say it with me. Abba Father. You say it. Say it again. Okay. All right. Get that in your spirit. I'm going to start using that wonderful name more and more. So, take a look at this now. Abba appears three times in the New Testament. On the lips of Jesus in the book of Mark, in Romans, and in Galatians, Paul brings reference to it. So, in each case, the Greek expression, ho pater, and that's actually the way you pronounce it. I looked it up in the Greek, because I don't want to try the English pronunciation and butcher it. But it's ho pater, and it means the father. That's the Greek now. So when you say Abba, father, what are you saying? You're saying Abba, Aramaic, and then you're saying father in Greek. Why? Think about it. Why? Why the dual? Well, the dual language phrase. The writer records Aramaic word Abba and then translates it for his Greek people that may not understand and know Aramaic. So at the end of the day, though, this is what's really interesting. Jesus could have chosen any one of many words with which to address God, but he chose Abba, Abba Father. He selected the word, Aramaic word, Abba, which literally means the Father. Abba, the Father. However, in context, it can also mean my Father, our Father. So when you say Abba, Father, you're saying, in context, when we're praying, my Father or our Father. So why the dual language phrase? Evidently, the word Abba was so important to the apostolic community that it was retained even when they were writing in Greek and knew some readers would not understand Aramaic. At the end of the day, again, you could have chosen any other name. The renowned biblical scholar, Dr. Kenneth Bailey, he specializes in the Lord's Prayer. And several years ago, he was privileged to teach the Lord's Prayer to a group of women in a village in the Lebanese mountains. And in the class, he was describing Abba as the first century Aramaic word. And as he spoke, he noticed there was a restlessness in the class from the women. They were kind of, what's going on here, you know? And so finally he stopped and he said, do any of you have any comments? And then in the back, this one lady, she kind of went like this. Have you ever done that? You don't want to draw attention to yourself, but you're a little bit shy, but you have something to say, right? So she kind of put her hand up like this, and she says very gently, as in his words, to this poor foreigner, as he describes himself, Dr. Bailey, Abba is the first word we teach our children. What's the first word we teach our children? What's the first word? Do you remember? Of course you don't. But I hope God's in there someplace, right? So that's the first word we teach our children. On further investigation, he found this to be true. And Dr. Bailey, he noticed when he did his research that the countries of Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan, and others in close proximity, they were Aramaic-speaking countries. And guess what? This is what's so amazing. This precious word, Abba, has survived 2 millennia. And even in those countries now, they speak Arabic. But the word Abba, Aramaic, that Jesus introduced, is still alive. Jesus is eternal. How beautiful is that? Abba is always followed by the word Father in Scripture. And the phrase is found in 3 passages. In Mark 14:36. Let's read it. Read it with me. And he said, Abba, Father. So Jesus addressed his heavenly Father, his Father, as Abba, Father. Notice in that scripture that there are 2 elements in the word Abba, intimacy and an obedient heart. Jesus, that's the first thing he says, Abba, Father, Daddy, my Father. That's intimacy. Then what else does he say? He talks about obedience. The substance of his prayer is what? Your will be done, not mine. So again, Abba, Father, how precious it is. It's also found in the scripture Romans 8:15. Abba, Father is mentioned in relation to the Spirit's work of adoption. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Interestingly enough, Jesus invited believers to address God as our Father who art in heaven. We receive the spirit of adoption when we accept by faith grace. Anybody know what a good acronym for that is? Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. So, when we accept by faith the grace, God's riches at Christ's expense that has been offered to us in Christ, we get what we don't deserve. It is the spirit of adoption who teaches us to call out to our Father God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. It is the gift of God. Praise God for that. And again, Galatians 4, Paul says, "And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call, Abba, Father." Did you know that the right to call God, Abba, Father, is something that only a born-again Christian may have? Did you know that? If you're not born again, if you've not received the atoning blood of Jesus, if you've not received him as your Lord and Savior, you don't have the right to call. Can't call him Abba Father. Isn't that amazing? Look at the scripture in John 1:2. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the right to be the children of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God." Abba, Father. So in conclusion here, I've got 2 minutes quickly here. I struggled with praying, I'll be honest with you. And I would talk to God all the time about it 30 plus years ago and say, do I really need to pray like this? I really don't think I can do this. At the time the church we were going and attending, they were going to a Wednesday night prayer service. Look at all of you here at a Wednesday night prayer service. How about that? And I just was having a horrible time with that. What am I going to do for an hour and a half? How am I going to pray that? And so what happened was, I'm in the shower, and I've never forgotten this. I'm talking to the Lord in the shower, my daddy, my Abba Father, although I didn't know it at the time. I'm talking to him and said, "Do I really have to pray like this?" And you know, the thought came to my mind immediately, the scripture in Luke 18:1. "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." I couldn't get around those words. I could not get around those words. I just couldn't do it. Besides, my wife loved the Lord's Prayer. So prayer is our spiritual life's blood. And, you know, it doesn't matter. I love to pray in my study. Maybe you have a closet. Max Lucado says he literally has a closet that he goes into and prays. I love my study. But I find myself praying all the time, all day long. "Lord, what do you think of that? Lord, I can't believe that. I can't believe that." So when you begin to pray like that, pray in the car, pray in your yard, pray whenever and wherever. When you do this, we can't help cry out. Abba, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, take our hearts and mold them into what you want. May we be ever mindful of your amazing love, and may we share that love with those that are in such a desperate need. And Lord, I thank you for each person here tonight and our live stream audience. And Lord, Holy Spirit, woo them to Jesus if they don't know you. And I thank you, Lord. And be in this prayer time now to the next hour, and be overwhelmed with our love for you. And I declare this through your blood, and in your name, Jesus, amen.